Well, good morning. It's 8:36 a.m. on Sunday, June the 16th. Happy Father's Day. So yesterday I got dubbing around. By the time I realized what time it was, I had to go to the grocery store because Saturday at the grocery store is never something you want to put off. By the time I got back from that, it was just too hot to go out. And normally you would think, oh, really? It was almost 80 degrees, but still, 80 degrees is summertime weather. Yeah, it is. Except with the sun beating down, it's grilling weather. And the grilling is me on the sidewalk. So I got on this treadmill and did treadmill in the morning. And then didn't do it in the evening, so screwed myself up there. So it goes. It's rather a cool morning. It's quite a difference when the sun is not out. It's 64 ambient. But without the sun, it's really quite cool. So while I am working up a small sweat here, the sun is not adding to my heat load, so it's pretty comfortable. Ah, it rained heavily yesterday afternoon and the evening. It was still pretty slimy when I got up at 5:30, but things are pretty much dried off now. There's a little dampness in the gutters, but that's about it. The grass was pretty wet when I waded into it to get the picture, but other than that. So today is Father's Day. What have I got planned for today? Well, I haven't filled out my my bullet journal yet. I'm trying to think of what might be a priority today besides trying to get another chunk of Cave Grace done. I did a little Eve Online this morning early. I was up early. I checked. There was ice, but mining ice is one of those things where I do it when I can, just because it reduces the cost of running stations. And now I've got two stations, one of which is basically just a ghost town, and the other one is actually a moon mining station. And it uses a lot of fuel. And with the right equipment, with the right raw materials, I can make the fuel. But the raw materials take time to acquire. And one of them is critical, that And as a result of being critical for everybody who wants to make fuel, the price of it is really quite high. So I need 5 blocks an hour, 24 hours in a day. So that's 120 blocks a day. And I need 6 days to mine the moon. And if I let it run out of fuel, then it costs about a month's worth. No, that's not true. It costs about 350 blocks. That's about 3 days worth. So if I'm going to let it idle for more than 3 days, then I can just let it run out of fuel and call it good until I'm ready to do some more moon mining. But the thing with moon mining is that it's an extended proposition. I started it like 3 days ago. I will have ore to process on Thursday. So it takes 6 days worth of fuel to get the ore. And then the ore gets transferred into minerals, and the minerals get used up in building stuff. And so I've got all of the skills, all the equipment, all the stuff I need in order to make that happen. And ice is the bottleneck. So I'm putting together a team of ice miners. Which brings me back to, or around to, this idea of character. And Robert McKee and his book Story, a lot of and screenwriting, whatever the hell the name of that book is. It's a real long title. But it's Robert McKee, and the first word is story, and the last word is screenwriting. And I'm actually getting a lot out of it. A lot of it kind of pissed me off. I'm pretty sure I've talked about the stuff that's pissed me off before. But he's such an extremist. It has to be good or it's terrible. It has to be great or it's not worth the time. It has to be great or it's awful. It has to be all or nothing. It's like Mercedes, the best oder nicht. And I, you know, it's like, I'm willing to go with good enough, because great isn't necessarily a story I'm interested in. Because you have to test your characters to their inner core, to their utmost being, to find out who they really are. And you don't really actually find out who they really are, because it's all a construct. Which means you have to construct them first. And it kind of gets in the way of telling a story, because I'm busy constructing a character. But he did get into some stuff like coincidence and image systems. He's talking about film, but it holds out, because he's talking about symbolism. It's like, okay, they're ongoing, you know, thematic ideas that happen in the background. And you really, it's not something I actively pursue, but it's something that I've noticed actually does happen to a greater or lesser degree in all of my stories. But he gives movies the ideas. It's like everything in the screen, in the shot, has to be there for a reason. So there's a reason that the vase on the counter is glass instead of ceramic, or is metal instead of, get ready to say it with me, monk post there. Okay, sorry, got a little out of sequence. And whether there's flowers in it or not, what do the flowers mean? It's like, oh, good God. It comes back to a discussion that I was in about Chekhov's arm, or Chekhov's gun, which is if there's a gun on the mantelpiece in the first act, it has to be used by the end of the third. Assuming it's a three-act play, but you know what I mean. Anyway, and to me, that's just telegraphing. It's like, why are you telegraphing this piece of information? Why are you telling people early on that this thing is going to be important? You're going to use it later. And so now they're looking for how it's going to be used or where it's going to be used. And of course, the challenge is to use it in a way that's different. So there's a gun on the mantelpiece in the first act, and then it's used as a club in the last act, or it's used to prop open the door in the last act, or something. I don't know. This is kind of lame. I have some trouble with this. Although I've had artifacts like that, don't usually show them right off the bat. They're buried somewhere in there. I have a lot of red herrings. Both figurative and literary and actual. Stretching my back. So the ideas are interesting. The ideas are intriguing. I'm thinking about Malachi Vagrant again. I need to be thinking about the other Malachi, the guy I'm going to have to rename, because there's too many Malachis in the world, apparently. I need a different name. Mortimer, maybe. Vivian. Just confused the living hell out of people. And the reason that confuses people is that Vivian is, in fact, one of those gender-neutral names, could be either. Because, particularly in the United States, Vivian is a woman's name. But in the UK, Vivian is not an uncommon man's name. Songbird here flying overhead. Out of the blue of the western sky. Although he's come out of the south, actually. Ah, oh, crap. brush my head on some leaves overhead. On my hat. And the water fell down my neck. So I'm thinking about this character, TBA. To be announced. be named later. So, we'll go with Malachi, because that's the name that I gave him to begin with. Even though it's not a great choice. Anyway, so I'm thinking about this guy, and so his basic backstory is that he's kind of a pawn. He's the second son of the king. So he's not going to inherit. And he's chafing at the boundary of adulthood at 19 years. And his naming day is when he's 20. It's 20 or 21. I think it's 21. Anyway, it's in the future, but not very far in the future, just a little bit. So it's so close to it, he can smell it, and he wants it so that he can have his tutor, his combination tutor, advisor, traveling companion, an old guy named Wazor. Now, maybe I'm going to leave him with Wazor, I don't know. But Wazor is a family retainer. He's been in charge of this guy's education since he was old enough to be educated, which is basically just after he learned how to walk. And because he's the son of the king, he was never trained in anything remotely useful. So he's trained in a certain sense, he's trained in history. He's trained in intrigue. He's trained in politics. And in a certain sense, he's trained in logistics of running a stead, because as the second son, his most likely career path is either palace parasite or being put in charge of one of the kingdom's holdings, ideally far away, because he's kind of a prat. So I've got this guy, and I'm like, well, what does he like to do? And the answer is, I have no idea. And the problem is, it can't be, he has no idea, because that's Ishmael. Ishmael found out what he liked to do early. I bypassed a lot of stuff in early Ishmael by not giving him any choices early, which a lot of people don't have early anyway, but I like to tell a different story this time. So, I need to think about this character. What does he like to do? What does he want to do? If I was going to use Lucifer's line on him, what is it that you most desire in this whole wide world? Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.